drinks of choice.
Take those over there because you're clearly pouring.
You have one. No, you guys have whiskey. The moonshine. I'm doing whiskey.
Yeah. I thought you were pouring.
I started, but I could cut this part out, so it's okay.
Cool. All right, so glasses
this
up.
Is all raw. To the line.
To the line?
Yeah.
I'm not shooting this shit. I don't shoot whiskey. I don't shoot shit.
That's good. I don't think there's enough for two lines.
You ever done moonshine and whiskey mixed? You're about to.
Take a little bit of mine so we're...
I'm not going to do that.
Do it.
No.
Do it.
No.
Do it.
Oh, God, no.
I'm not that one. All right. Cheers, boys.
It's about the same.
Yep. Cheers.
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 Ooh, I had a half shot. What? Taste the whiskey.
That's not bad. What is that?
Oh. Here's the whiskey I wanted you to try a while ago.
Almighty shine. I'm not doing another
one. No, just taste it. Don't shoot it. Taste it. That is the most awkward taste I've ever seen somebody do.
I'm not a fan of that.
Too sweet?
No, it could be the mix of this.
I think it's a mix. He tried this one yesterday. It wasn't bad.
I tried that earlier today, too.
I'll try that on the next episode for y'all. That is not me, though.
Is this one mine or yours?
That's yours.
All right, guys. Well, that's the new tradition for when it's just us. Just kind of have fun, relax. We'll do different stuff. I might make them shoot water or lemonade. Who knows? I'm just going to have you shoot random stuff. I'm not going to tell you what.
It could be piss for all we know.
It could be clam
juice. Very good chance.
I did that one time.
What about clams?
Clam juice?
I could do that.
You ever heard of backyard barbecue, like the skate stuff?
Yeah,
they had a wheel, and it was... punishments, and I had to drink a whole shot of clam juice.
I could do that, no problem.
So, just side note, I just started looking at the tripod.
Mm-hmm.
We got a tripod, and we mount the mics in front of us.
Oh, by the way, guys, we got a tripod.
Yeah. Hopefully, it'll be a lot more stable,
a lot more visual. Angles, a lot more awkward positions that we can be set up in, so. You're a pervert.
Nope, I see Jackie listening to this going,
these guys are idiots.
You guys are perverted. She's going to make the sick joke, we're not.
She already made the sick joke. She wanted to test it first.
You know what?
I'm all alone.
Okay.
Got you, babe.
All right, so I'm back. All right, so Thrace, I'll let you introduce this segment of this part of this series because it was your idea, so I want you to explain what we're doing and so forth.
This segment is going to be called Media Mondays. We're going to include our media guy into it. I've never seen a podcast, a vlog, a YouTube video, any type of media that is dedicated to media team. So
I just want to add in, if we miss somebody,
yes.
No offense, just from what we've seen so far.
Yes, we haven't watched them all, but from what we've seen so far, we haven't seen anyone do
and it feels,
anything with media.
I feel more appreciated. I feel like I get that respect from you guys. Like, I'm not just here
so
to be
you know,
a media guy.
Media, other than whoever's channel it is on, honestly, even without them, it's all media.
Yeah.
They have
a
whole media team for it, unless you're doing selfies, holding it up, and just recording like
that.
Yeah,
like vloggers and all
I'm
that.
I'm too ugly to do that, so. I'm a, I don't even want to be a
camera. Media team is what runs the
yeah,
whole thing.
No, absolutely. So, like, for me, shout out to all the media people, all you guys.
Definitely,
like, I'm going to spit out my two favorite, JoJo and Tyler.
Yeah.
Those are my two favorite guys.
Yep. I've seen too many big-name people
like,
lose a lot of media members because they don't appreciate them.
Oh, absolutely.
And that's one thing I would love to do differently is have a whole series dedicated to media.
Fantastic.
So whether it be you or anyone else we bring in on the future,
right?
It's the chairs between the two of us is going to gradually grow.
Here's an idea.
What my goal is.
Definitely.
Let me know if you guys agree. We're just going to do this now. If you're a media guy and you want to be on for Media Monday,
because
you've never been featured by your company, or maybe you're a small company and you've never been featured, I think that'd be a cool feature to do where we, in addition, well, you can ask them questions too.
Definitely.
Yeah. I was going to say, we can have him lead it.
Yeah.
I'm new to the media, so any help, any pointers, any tips, any guidance would be helpful.
Yeah.
I've done a lot of studying on it. I've done it. Photography and videography my whole life. I've always loved it as a kid. I had my own camera as a kid and everything. So it would be definitely nice to get different points of views and tips too when it comes down to it.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
All publicity is good publicity.
Yeah. Like, I'm never going to be like, oh, I don't like your idea, or no, or
it's going
to
be
open
like,
to any idea.
I hear your idea, let me apply it, see if it works. If it doesn't, maybe one little bit of it does work for
right.
you. It might not be the full thing, but you can adapt a style into your own.
Right, and that's basically what I've done, just learning it on myself, because I haven't sat down and studied it too hard, but like, from what I learned, I pick it up from others and see what they mm-hmm. capture and their angles, and I try to replicate it in my own style.
Yeah.
I like that, though. I've seen it myself, too. He's
I feel like drifting is the same way, though. Yeah. Drifting is just watching different styles and applying it to yourself and seeing what works for you. A lot of different styles is a combination of a bunch of them.
Right.
True.
Like, so, some people are those smooth, aggressive people, mm-hmm. and or they're stylish and not
there's
so
like
aggressive.
Super aggressive and super nonchalant, and then there's everything in between.
Yep.
Yeah. I'm a big fan of smoothest, slowest, smooth, smoothest, fast. No.
Some variation.
Yes, I think it's slowest, smooth, smoothest, fast.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'm a big fan of that because of the fact that you see how many times I've injured myself just doing dumb shit. So,
yep.
Well, it's also, it's accurate. For me, it's accuracy. And I think that's going to be my driving style. And just my style, everything. Like, it took me, outside of you guys pushing me, it took me, what, 3 years to get to this point where
yeah.
I've always been a little more reserved. What the fuck was that?
The apocalypse.
Oh, the dry recycle.
Mm.
Sorry, spooked the shit out of me.
I like that theory. I love that theory, especially for beginners and any motorsport. Take it slow. The slower you go, the better you learn. The better you learn, the faster you go.
I'll give a shout out to one podcast I started listening to. I told him about. I think he should listen to. So mm-hmm. do you. It's After Hours with Faction Motorsports. They're out of New Jersey.
Okay.
They are an S chassis specialist. They only do S chassis. As far as I know, well, I think they like one of the guys has an IS and one guy has something else.
From going from an S chassis owner to an S chassis co-owner. And never driving a car, definitely gonna look into it.
Yeah. So one thing I caught from the owner, his name's Frank. He owns Faction Motorsports.
Okay.
His theory on that, his shop, his company was, I do every, paraphrasing. So if I get this wrong, don't fucking sue me. Don't yell at me. Whatever.
Yell at him. Don't.
Go ahead and yell. I don't give a shit. essentially, what it was is, I did everything the safest way possible.
Yes. Yeah.
So, example, he wanted to take the next step. He researched for months. Mm-hmm. How is this the best, safest way to do it? Because that's what he, like,
as everyone should
right.
do.
Exactly.
Get a stock car, do your research, drive the car before applying any modifications, get used to it, and slowly go through the modification process. Like, anyone starts
even a business.
In high school. You get a car, you do an intake, you do an exhaust, and then you go slowly into
the Hold on, I got to interject here. Maintenance, brakes, tires.
Maintenance aside.
And then get, yeah.
Maintenance aside.
I had to do this smart ass because you know somebody's going to be out there.
Apart
brakes. Well, what if you don't buy tires first? Well, if they're unsafe, buy tires.
Or do what I did. Apart brakes, find a good replacement, upgrade it. Aftermarket, upgraded, that's still within budget.
Or even a good, like, you. Me and you discussed years ago, a good factory upgrade.
Yeah.
Like, if the trim above you is an affordable upgrade, mm-hmm. and they have a bigger, better quality item, and you can get them cheaper than going after
like a good OEM replacement for performance, White Bunny Clutch. White Bunny Clutches, they're a good street use clutch,
mm-hmm.
but
you
can abuse the hell out of them.
Okay.
You can abuse them, take them to the track, and you can still daily it the next day.
Like
so not sponsored. I ran it in a few different of my prior vehicles. I've never had an issue with white bunny clutches.
So, from another, like, I guess,
aspect
of the car culture, mm-hmm. VIP builds. I saw one post of a guy VIP building, and it's kind of stuck to my head. He said, take the time to buy the legitimate parts. It's going to be worth it in the end.
For a VIP build, I will support that every single day.
I have one interjection to that. It's when you know you want to, like, you are dead set. Example, you're buying an LS. he knows he's going to do NBA people.
Yep.
I'm going to use somebody I know from the Subaru world. He's got a, I think it's a 15, 14, 15. That generation legacy.
Mm-hmm.
He, the ones in the car, mm-hmm. he bought cheaper ones because he, I don't know why he bought them, but he bought one because maybe that was all that was available at the time.
Right.
That's what he bought at the time, but now he has the mostly, like, the stuff you look at, like, mm-hmm. it's the pinnacle of the pinnacle.
Mm-hmm.
Like, proper JDM drapes yeah. out of top companies.
Ooh,
like, he imports shit.
Necessity for a VIP.
When you know for a fact that, you're doing this direction, do it.
Okay, so.
Oh, I'm
for a VIP build.
He's sat up.
Hold on.
I love this. He's motivated. Let's go.
Bagged or static?
Bagged.
Bagged.
Perfect. Great answers.
Now, if you ask me for a track car, static.
Yeah, agreed.
But
any VIP build
I could be
needs
wrong.
To be bagged because the status of flex, when you pull up,
just that
it looks OEM and you hear that just air out. There's no more flex than that.
Yeah, that's the one. So if Kyle listens to this, he's gonna give me some shit because years ago I said fuck bags, but
bags
I said fuck bags.
Bags are for groceries.
On the state of,
but you gotta look good getting your groceries.
Exactly. Well, I said this one the state of we were having issues with bags. I looked at it from this is my daily driver.
So
if I have an issue, I can go to the store, buy a unit, put it in because that's my daily
issue with the bags that you had.
No, that was at the time they were having a lot of manufacturing issues. Like, companies were having bad kits, parts. Like, just bad quality from companies.
I want to argue this.
Okay.
Was it bad quality or bad install?
No, like, they were having stuff like the bags themselves were leaking because it was a bad batch.
I can still argue it was a bad install because if someone fucked up on the install
and hit
the bag, I want to say maybe 50% of that was a bad install.
I'm looking at it for like there's a few people I saw that were internally, like from the base when they were installed, they were like it was bad seals or it was bad product. So that's
where we install bags all the time, and we have a lot of issues with fittings leaking because they're not properly seated.
And it could have been that. It could have been. Mm-hmm. I also saw stuff like
bags really
bad quality parts, like
better than check valve.
Recently.
Yeah,
the check valve under the hood for. So at least the bags that we install.
Mind you, hold on, real quick. Mind you, I don't know shit about bags. I'm just going, when I looked at bags, again, this is my daily driver.
Yeah.
I was driving 100 miles a day.
Super bags, super simple setup. No matter how complex the setup is, you got power ground, go to the battery, goes to a switch.
Quality compressor?
Goes to the compressor, it shoots air out to however many bags you have. What I'm familiar with is two bags, usually in the rear. From there, it's, if your compressor's not turning on, you either got bad ground or bad power. If your compressor's kicking on and it's not rising, you got an air leak somewhere. Super simple system to work with.
So
our main issue
is soap water
side lifts or lowers, the other side doesn't.
You got a leak
at that fitting or at one of the fittings.
That or
super
people
simple.
Aren't purging their tanks enough.
If
you live in a moist
too.
State,
mm-hmm.
people don't understand you have to purge them all the time.
So that's just, and this is, so for me, this is why I don't understand for people. If you own a compressor of any state,
mm-hmm.
you need to bleed, like the one I have in the garage,
mm-hmm.
the bottom's frozen.
Yep.
I have to go buy propane tomorrow to heat the bottom of the thing ever so slightly to drain it out.
Right.
Which is why you hear me up it and purge.
I just
release it so I can get any moisture out that I can. But that's just something I think is just poor maintenance. Maybe it's people not reading manuals.
Mm-hmm.
Read your fucking manuals.
Yeah, that was more targeted to the people who have money to spend it and just don't do their research on it.
Yeah,
it's a guy thing.
Don't read manuals.
Any man will never read a manual.
Okay, ask the company you buy from, what are the three most safety-related things I need to do? If they say bleed it, check it, and maintain it,
that's it. Bare minimum.
That's all you need to do.
Yeah.
Unless it's IKEA when you need instructions for it.
Hey, I ain't gonna lie. I've tried that shit without a manual. I had to go dig the manual out of the trash.
You two are like the only people that can read those manuals.
It's because you have to read sideways. That's what I read.
I can't read
speed. You gotta read right to left, man.
Maybe that's why.
Right to left.
That's why I fucked up that.
Somebody's gonna get so mad at this episode. It's okay. Hey, we're having fun. We're enjoying it.
Just yeah, that, it's all we find funny to watch.
Right. It's all out of fun. It's all out of love.
Or if anything, voice your opinion in a respectful manner.
To be fair, freedom of speech.
Yeah.
If you're mad just have fun. Don't listen.
I mean, like there's podcasts I listen to that go real quick. I caught this because we spoke about this earlier. Fuck two J's. I was like, what do you mean fuck two J's?
Yep.
What do you mean fuck two? No. Fuck your RB is what I'm saying. Fuck your RB. Come to find out, like, it was, I forgot, Martini works with somebody, and they just did hot takes.
Yeah.
It's a draw. And so I was like, well, I got to listen to this fucking thing. I got to see what this shit's about. And then it being like, it was some silly thing. It was Martini works with some podcast that was just like, two J's in some random car that I'm like, what the fuck are you putting a 2J in this car?
For me, it's...
Like, why?
Fuck SR20s.
Now, before you get pissed... I know you're an SR fan. Mm-hmm. I don't like SRs for the fact of limited part availability. I can't get parts when I need them. Mm-hmm. We had a discussion last time is why do I choose certain items or certain vehicles stateside? Because I have an issue, I can't get a part.
It's an overplayed motor.
Yeah. Here's a quick question I want to go before. This is one of the questions I want to ask you, but I'm going to ask all of us. Mm-hmm. What's another overplayed motor that is overplayed, but we haven't found a solution for?
An LS.
RB.
RB replacements in 2J, or an LS, or a Barra.
Same thing.
LS swaps are so overdone now.
Whether
a lot of drift cars are now V8s.
Whether
LS
it be the Barra, the RB, the 2J,
inline six
1J, the BMW inline six, they're all the fucking same. They all have their own issues, and it's an inline six issue.
Yeah, I think the biggest issue is the space they take.
Yes.
They are such
RB,
a large motor.
RB, it's oil consumption. 2J, it's... Fuck if I know right now.
You could just send that thing to hell.
Yeah. It's the...
Me, personally, I would rather have a 1J over a 2J.
It's the price point. 1J or 2J. They're just two goddamn
just
the
Jay-Z
expensive.
Motor in general. I think that's
for
my
good quality
issue.
Parts, you have to wait a shitload of time before you see the parts. Most of them are coming from overseas.
And I think that's...
For BMW, it's just a very complex system.
It's fucking German. Who like?
Exactly. I love...
Ryan's...
I love the BMW inline six. Don't get me wrong.
Ryan's going to hear this fucking podcast, and he's going to go, you fucking asshole, I have a supercharger, 800 horsepower, daily driven BMW. I know you do, and your car is fucking ridiculous. And so is your cousins.
You
and
are
I love
my him. New best friend. Surprise. And the only inline six I would take would be the BMW inline six.
Yeah, him and Sean did a fantastic job on theirs.
Yeah, I like, need to see this car. You, Ryan, you need to...
Watch Jojo's video.
I
want to
see it in person.
Yeah.
Videos don't do anything justice.
No.
I need to see this thing in person.
It's fucking gorgeous, dude. It's the way he
backstory.
Oh
my first 240 that I owned, I had a 95 BMW. It was a 5 Series, a 525i.
I don't remember that car.
I was pulling the motor out of that to swap it into a S13 hatchback.
Dang.
I never was able to finish it because I didn't have the resources for swap mounts, motor mounts, trans mounts. I never had access to anything.
I'll give you one thing. To be fair, let me get close to the mic on this one. To be fair, we did not know of the companies, or maybe the companies did not exist at this time.
I don't know if they still exist.
And popularity-wise,
yes,
they were not as widely known where it was as easy to go. Because this is, what, a decade ago?
Right. 2017, 2018? Almost a decade.
Oh, yeah. My God.
Creeping up on it.
Half of a decade.
If I had the knowledge I have now about welding and fabrication back then, it 100% would have been
there. So that's another thing is, back then, if you knew back then what you knew now,
yes.
Sorry, that phrase always fucks me up. If you had your knowledge now when you had it back then,
I still would have been in my sign.
Okay, hey, cool. You know, I have my sign as a daily. I can take time. I know how to weld.
That would not be a daily by now.
No, but say for that 6 months you would have needed.
That would have been an all-wheel drive swapped turbo. It would have been a twin charge all-wheel drive setup by now. I had the research done back then.
He actually did. I didn't have the knowledge
for it to do it.
Well, yeah, it's like, unfortunately, like, I wish you would have kept the BMW. But at the same time, again,
I didn't have a title for it, though. There was a lien in Wisconsin for it, and it wasn't worth it for me.
You were not going to daily drive that car. You were going to put that shit on the track anyways.
I paid $400 for it, and I drove it from Quincy, Illinois, all the way up to Earlville, Illinois. And it had 400,000 miles on it. There was not one leak from anything on it, and I abused the fuck out of it the entire way back home. The full 4.5-hour drive home. Not one issue. I absolutely loved that motor, and that's why I'm 100% behind BMW M9 6s.
Yeah, I mean, I'm a big fan of 2Js because I grew up around them.
That's fair. I love how they sound. I've heard a lot of pros. I've heard a lot of cons about them.
Well, that's okay. So that's any motor. Wait,
since you brought that up, what is your favorite sounding motor?
Sounding motor? Mm-hmm. LS.
Okay. What about you?
Oh, American. LS, Coyote. They sound great.
Hold on, are we talking carbureted or fuel injected?
Either.
No, there's a huge difference.
I know.
All the above.
Me personally?
No, there's a huge difference.
New age V8s.
Just a motor, like any motor, any type of motor in the world. What is your favorite sounding motor?
Favorite sounding?
Mm-hmm.
IT4AG Toyota motor.
I'm a Jay-Z fan.
Hold on. My only reason is because of the ITVs, and this is why I'm asking these, because
it's a different tone.
ITVs and a carbureted motor will sound different than a solid intake fuel injector.
Yep.
So that's why I'm asking. If you ask me carbureted, one of my favorite outside of a 420, is a 427? SS motor.
Mm-hmm.
Give me that big ass motor carbureted with a proper exhaust. One of my favorite motors. If you ask me a fuel injected, it's a high tight fight between an LS and a 2J. Mind you, my stipulation is both are boosted.
Yes.
NA versus NA. NA, it's probably going to be a Coyote motor.
Fair.
Boosted? Still probably going to go with that. No? Here, ready? You need to clip this part. A boxer motor. A Subaru or a Porsche boxer motor. I like with a proper exhaust. I just like that build up the quality.
For sounds, for me, carbureted isn't even in the equation. I got two motors that are.
I want to hear this.
Perfect. One's going to be the LS. Tied for first place, rotary. That might just be the Puerto Rican half of me, but God. Rotary, 100%.
You know what?
See, you got me debating over a rotary or an RB. So no, nothing can beat the sound of it.
No, again, this is why I'm asking you a silly question. For me, I've heard better sounding carbureted rotaries than I have fuel injected.
That is fair.
But I also had a ridiculous rowdy ass rotary in the garage that you've seen. Thank you, Sparky and my crew. My people, Sparky, Rob, Andrew.
Yeah.
Like my guy, Mike. There's other people, I'm just not listening to them all, because that's going to take an hour. But, you know, that crew, we had that car in the garage, you heard it fire up.
Mm-hmm.
I liked it because it was fuel injected.
Yeah. I heard it, and that thing was gorgeous.
My favorite setup was when I was at the fabrication shop. It was a fuel injected rotary. It was a 3-rotor with a big turbo in a Corolla.
Mm. That had to be a Puerto Rican.
It was.
It was
a mutt. It had Toyota badges. Or it had Mazda badges with Corolla logos all over it.
So I will say,
bright orange, and dear God, the thing was short, tiny, and it made a massive amount of power. Every fiber.
Was this NA or was it boosted?
It was boosted. It was big turbo.
You had to be Puerto Rican. Had to be Puerto Rican.
He was local to the area. He owns a Puerto Rican restaurant in Elgin. Some of the best food I've ever had.
Hell yeah.
That is by far my favorite rotary.
It's who else? It's Puerto Ricans, somebody else that are outside of, obviously, Asian people. Puerto Ricans, no, Filipinos are huge on rotary swaps, too. Yes. And specifically, into specific Corollas.
Mm-hmm.
I think
it's Corollas and
Filipino and Korean, I think, are also.
It's two the Samurais, the Suzuki Samurais.
That fucking car.
Which is pretty much a Geo Tracker.
Yeah. What do you think, Nate? What would be what's the most ridiculous build you can think of using all factory? What I mean by this is think like
are we
example,
talking drifting, driving, or
a this? Swap in general for in all. I'm gonna say all purpose use, and then
like
you could give
us a factory motor swapped into a car.
Something you can go take two cars on the street and swap. Example, a Corolla and a rotary. They could take that off the street from a junkyard and build it.
Okay.
You all right? I would have to say
I'm curious.
Insane. In my
if you say
four,
I'm slapping you.
Would be the Frontier Nissans where they RV swap them.
Okay.
I think that is insane. Like the way they sound, the RV swap Frontier Nissans.
The RB/2J. I'm just gonna say the JDM
yeah.
Inline six.
Yeah, yeah.
That's. Have you seen those videos? 18
yes.
Horsepower.
Yes.
Man, 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 man,
yes.
Man, 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 man.
Factory,
are you nuts?
That's a factory setup on them.
Are you fucking crazy?
That
and they just drop a fat
my,
ass turbo
insane.
And a big exhaust and yep. They call it a day.
That
so,
is my ideal like of an insane.
The way
swap.
I see that is
fucking maniac.
The way I see it is that's not a swap because that's a factory option overseas, not in America.
But
we
are
never
we overseas.
We didn't have that chassis out here though because that
that's
was an
true.
SUV.
That's true.
So
yeah.
If it was a domestic car with any motor swap, what would it be?
The Fox body with a rotary.
Hold on. Any motor swap?
Sold.
Fox body with a rotary?
Yeah.
Sold.
Hold on.
A Fox body with
that
a
is
rotary.
My favorite Mustang with one of the best sounding motors.
I'm going to piss a lot of people off here.
Which rotary, though?
Yeah, question.
Like factory rotary, three rotor, four rotor,
well, you said factory,
six rotor.
So we have to go factory rotor.
Hold on. No, technically, your loophole is you could still take the rotary blocks and combine them because it's a fact. You could go take it out of motorsport. You can go to the junker and pull three rotors.
Honestly, just any rotary.
Just a rotary?
Yeah.
Just a rotary?
Okay. Just a rotary. Any rotary in one of those would
to
be
me,
insane.
I can't really vibe with that because every rotary setup sounds way different.
Yeah.
You can't tell me that a factory rotor sounds similar to a six rotor.
Oh, no. No. So the rotaries, so what? No, absolutely not.
No.
Give us a rotor count. At least a twin rotor?
Yeah.
Okay.
We'll go with the
twin. I respect the twin rotor.
Mm-hmm.
Boosted or not?
It has to be boosted. I can't not like a car that, like, I can like cars that aren't boosted, but. I grew up with just JDM cars around me that were boosted, so boosted.
I grew up around big blocks.
For me, it'd be a three rotor.
Hmm.
Two, three, four, like any of them. They just the three rotor
it's
sounds so ridiculous.
The three rotor is aggressive enough, but not super high.
Isn't that what Mad Mike rides as a three rotor?
He is now on a six rotor.
He's now like, but not his original.
Originally,
but, like,
was a three rotor.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. That is my ideal rotary setup is a three, max four rotor. Three rotor, I think, sounds the best. Anything over that is way too high pitched.
It sounds like an Indy car at that point.
On like crack.
Yeah.
It's almost too much for me.
That's mine.
No, this one's mine.
You thought.
I poured my glass.
Oh, shit.
I have a beer over here.
So I thought you had that beer over there next to you. That's racism. My bad. I'm sorry. I just saw
here,
a glass.
Man. I've been keeping my same glass.
Well, fucking my bad.
Potential new segment. Who's the drunk one?
Whoa, wait. All right.
Who's got ADD? All of us. Who's got the worst ADD? This jackass.
To bring it back to drifting a little bit,
mm-hmm.
Which
motorsports
country do you think has the best drifting? There's Australia, there's us, there's Japan, there's...
Depends on what...
Okay.
Competition.
Now that you've had a beer,
competition. Limit, America.
Sip. Don't shoot. I don't want to get your wife is not going to kick my ass. Okay.
Is this like a Japanese drink or an American drink?
It's American.
So we're shooting it.
I ain't fucking
not
shooting.
Sipping it.
If I give you sake, you sip that shit because that hits you like a ton of bricks. I figured
we'll
give
save
it,
that for
give
a
little
bit. Later.
I want to clear your palate, but I just want to see what you think. Sorry.
So.
Or
for
I guess
style.
Yeah,
for
style,
Australia. For
why Australia? I'm just curious. No, I've heard this before, and I just want to hear another opinion.
I'm only curious because my opinion style goes to Japan.
I figured you were going to say that. For me, style is Australia. They have some of the wildest body kits and liveries.
So they are hard on sex spec. The 2000s
for me,
era.
Grassroots is Japan. It's all the flashy shit to get the attention in. Australia is, for me, style. Massive angle, massive smoke, massive attention grabbing.
They do.
Japan
they do
is all grassroots, pulling attention into the little guys. They have some great techniques, but it's all, in my opinion, grassroots techniques.
When I think of, like, Japan drifting, so you watch...
America is... all of the aggressive, real competitive shit, because any American will tell you, we are competitive.
Yeah.
If someone is doing slightly better than we are doing our damnest to one up the next.
So here's my question, not just for you guys, but I want you guys to answer, but I also want them to answer.
Yes.
Do you think space availability, Australia has more space than Japan to make a track? We have an absurd amount of fucking space to make tracks. Do you think that's a big impact where Japan does not have that much geographical space?
I don't agree.
I don't, only because they have harder tracks than us.
No, I'm saying as far as what you're saying is big angle, wide tracks.
Big angle.
Japan doesn't have that. Thailand doesn't have that.
I feel Japan could have that. All they need is one good run up and they could have big angle.
Well, you think of like
that.
Toge runs, the reverse entries that they've thrown at Ebisu, like,
but
they can have the opportunity to do
to
big
be
angles.
Fair, they get a lot of their runs in the mountains where we don't do
I don't
that.
Know,
we do that
I don't
track.
Know geographically much about Japan. I've seen more of Australia on a map. They're larger in size.
It's flatter also in size, too.
But I don't know how much of Japan is actually used. I don't know if they have reserves. I don't know if they have just open land available. I've seen like Tokyo, they're compact, it's a giant city, but the rest of Japan I don't know much about, so I can't speak much on that. But like Australia, they're massive, they have a lot of land. They could build a decent sized track if they wanted to. Japan, I don't know much about. I want to say they could match Australia in track size if they wanted to, if they have the space, but I don't know much about them. That
so
would
I'm
be
a
topic
this,
I would have to get back to you.
I'm going to put this to a stop real quick. Pure and simple. It doesn't matter where you're at. They're closing all the tracks down.
Someone's going to fight it.
Stateside, how many tracks?
Can't guarantee they're going to run, but someone's going to fight it.
I'm saying it this way. Japan has lost part of Ebisu.
Right.
If I say they're wrong,
they
fucking bad.
They lost a majority of Ebisu.
Australia just closed down the only, I think it's,
like one of three tracks.
One of the few tracks in the region. I don't know. It was gutted to gutted that I mentioned, I think.
Wait. Why are all these tracks closing down right now?
No. Let me continue this. And
okay,
then what you're going to say is going to tie into what I say, I'm saying. Stateside. All this one. We lost how many tracks in 2023?
More than we would like.
So, as far as... Do you think... I guess it's going to tie into it. Because I think each region, each demographic, each area has its own style for its own reason. I think U.S. having a larger expanse of space, example, Texas. Texas alone has more landmass than most countries do.
Right.
And if you come at me and say, well, it doesn't have the same landmass as South America, I said a country, not a fucking continent.
Honestly, the Midwest has prime real estate to build
fantastic.
A track. A bunch of farmlands that we could potentially buy a small section of, build a track on, and we could be fine for good chunk
US
of the summer. Yeah.
It's each area has its own style for a reason. And what I'm going to say, I've never drifted. I'm an automotive enthusiast. And I wrench on most of my own shit. We all take from each other.
Yes.
So you might have the cosmetic style of Japan versus the driving style of this region versus the driving style of the Americas versus this. So we all work together.
All I'm gonna say is you close down every track across the world.
We fucking some shit up.
Crime rates are gonna go up because of it.
And this is whether where we get takeovers.
Whether it be trespassing on those closed tracks.
Yep. I thought that's where you're going.
There's gonna be a lot of street events being held.
I was gonna say that's why they're closing tracks is because all these stupid takeovers is making them lose respect to the car community.
Well, yeah, if you're retarded. So it's either gonna be street
have you
events,
seen our politicians?
There's gonna be improper street events. There's gonna be proper
I'm getting shot.
Improper street events.
Yes.
Proper street events.
Right.
Or there's gonna be people breaking and entering into these closed tracks to keep it safe on an enclosed circuit where there's no traffic. Either one of those three that you look at, it's gonna be illegal if all tracks are closed.
Real quick, we were gonna make this all about him. Sorry, this was probably like off, but this is what we do when it's just us.
Yep.
Real quick, on a side note, because you mentioned you actually showed me this article. The guy it was shown on like 1320 and like retired tracks and whatever Midwest or what some automotive page.
Mm-hmm.
A guy sold multiple of his cars to save and restore and revive a race circuit by him. I think it was a drag strip with a skid pad or something.
It was the drag strip with the skid pad, and it was the guy with.
Was it like seven cars or something? Like seven like.
If I had a collection, exclusive cars. If I had a collection that I would not part with.
I would do
a track needed saving. I will sell everything that I
just
own
to, save that,
to save that track.
You know, I would
to
do
give
it?
Someone a place to safely go and race.
Right there, I would do it because I.
There's a 16 or 17 year old,
okay,
brand new Mustang his parents bought him. I just came across the article the other day.
Hold on, you mean new Mustang like this? Like Ross's Mustang and like the S650 Mustang or like the new body?
Roughly. So
are you talking Kia old age new Mustang?
The accident happened in 2017 or 2018.
So a relatively new Mustang.
Relatively new. The kid just got served jail time for involuntary manslaughter. The black box recorded him at 162 miles an hour fucking around with a friend. He was slowing down, hit a mother and child in Florida, smoked them. The mother died instantly. The child died the next day in the hospital. He was
slowing down
after their pulls. Could have all been avoided if he was able to afford to go to the track to do these pulls with a friend.
All right, here's a question.
If the tracks were more affordable. Not saying that $50 is too expensive. GLD, you can go to a drift event for $60 for the day.
Now,
don't know about the drag.
Like, what argument
I want to say drag is the same thing. Don't quote me on it. But $60 for an entire day.
Being from
I would
Vegas,
rather do that than spend the next 25 years in jail or more.
Okay.
Plus paying a couple of grand in legal fees.
Yeah.
I would rather spend the $60.
But hold on.
Go ahead. No, I'm going to carry off what you're saying.
Vegas. That's what I like about Vegas Drift. When they have and hold a drift event, all you have to do is throw $15-$20 to go hit their skid pad.
I will say, who's
and
the
that's
organizer?
Anybody.
Yeah.
Whoever the organizers, me and you talked about them before because I heard about them and I mentioned it after another. Again, I listen to only podcast. I don't listen to music anymore. I listen to podcasts.
Yeah.
I forgot who it is. But he did such a great job that the county knows when he's going to hold an event and they don't question him. It's,
yeah.
But he's so down to the apps, like down to the nut and bolt, nook and cranny,
right.
Diamond, penny,
presses
and nickel.
And
so he knows everything. I heard of Vegas Drift is through that podcast
because
I'm new. I focus on Midwest. I focus on what I can get to. That was one of his things. He wanted to make it affordable and a quality event. And he's like, some people are going to be in that because I have to raise the cost to cover costs that we're having to cover.
Right, because Vegas Drift doesn't like Vegas Drift being held at the raceway because it's their oval track.
Yeah. And, you know, I think what I was going to ask is I want him to answer first because we have to focus on him.
Yes.
And I want your opinion too, is Do you think, I'm trying to think how to phrase this correctly. A little better. You want to go plug it in?
No,
go grab your charger.
It's at 10%.
Okay.
For another half hour.
Technical difficulties.
You know, batteries, electronics. I'll come back to it later.
Okay, cool.
Go, please.
So.
You actually might say it how I want to. So
this could be a very hot pick. Recently, we've had NASCAR come to Chicago. Mm-hmm. They shut down a whole section of Chicago for NASCAR.
Oh, let's go. I work in Chicago. Let's do this.
Not saying it needs to be in a major city or in Chicago, but I think counties should close down maybe a couple times a year, close down a section of road for drag racers, plus a section of road for drift and circuit racers. That way they can get it out. It would be completely free for them to go fuck around on the streets in a controlled setting. If they can't make the hour and a half, 2 hour, 3 hour drive to a track, plus pay the admission fee, it gives them a cheap, affordable option to test their car, to go fuck around in a controlled environment. Law enforcement's there. EMS
I see
is
your
brain
running, Nate.
FDS is there.
Yeah.
Everyone is there that you need there in case of an emergency. What do you think of
essentially what you're saying is providing us
or most states doing that? Whether it be every county or at least every state offering something.
Or every other county, a reasonable reach. Mm-hmm.
I know it's kind of off topic, but not. Think of it like the Purge. Purge, they go out and do mass murder so it lowers crimes. If you did that in the car community, I guarantee there'd be less street drifting, less street drag racing, less just everything. Mm-hmm. And it would give us that opportunity.
Less criminal aspects.
Right. Criminal activity.
So I want to put this out here real quick. This is because I caught this from another one. Again, I listen fucking nothing but podcasts. Mm-hmm. This is our personal opinion. You might agree, you might not. I don't really give a shit, but this is our opinion. And this is what we say from our perspective. Now, if you have a different opinion and you want to say it respectfully, you can hop on and do an episode with us. You can email us. You can DM us, whatever.
Say it disrespectfully.
I
want to know how you feel about it.
I'm just an open-minded person. We will listen to your comment, and we might not agree, but we can discuss it still.
It at least
and
opens our minds up to
bad intentions
shit.
About the discussion.
Yeah.
I'm going to throw this out there. If you don't agree,
I don't
want to personally bring you onto the podcast, and I want to debate it.
Yeah.
Yeah. And this is where I'm going to say this will be respectfully because
yes.
People get heated on debates.
Yes.
So I think I Arizona or somewhere out by you warm fucks.
jealous.
I think it's they have a race the cops night. So anybody in any vehicle can race the police.
I'm going to lose 100% of the time, but I'm so
but I'm still going to race them.
But yeah, but they bring it. And
I'll
you
race
can run
my
as,
Lambo Feedies.
You can run as much as you want against the police on a drag strip where the police come in, they do a safety check. Do a safety check on your car. You can go. They record it. And if you win, the cop half the time gets on and goes, dude, that's fucking badass. Because guess what? Most officers nowadays are around my age.
I would love to do
mid-30s.
That.
I think it's fucking awesome.
I will take a drift car and drag race a cop.
Like,
there's
imagine
no,
if 6 of 60 that
no
shit.
No penalties. I will gladly.
Dude.
I would love to do that. We've hosted events in the past at the Hobby Lobby meets. It was literally just
it used to be great.
5-6 of us hanging out, and people caught on like, hey, there's the same modified vehicles there this day of the week, every single week. And it grew into like 3,000 different people showing up until
we got kicked out.
A specific group of people that kept fucking around and ruining it for the rest of us. But
remember the deal
half
with the
cops that would come to these distress calls,
they
were car enthusiasts. They would show up and I would talk to them personally, and they're like, I love the cars. I have a car myself. I'm like, hey,
but
if you have a day off on this day, please bring your car out. I would love to see it. And
like with Vegas.
There's a couple of them that brought them out.
I think this might because we talked about this before. Now, Thrace, back when we had it going correctly, I'll bring up one event. I think you were in the car.
Probably.
I think you were in the car with me. We had left, and there was a ghost cam intake exhaust Cali pack. S550 Mustang, blue, It happened by another Asian dude. He takes the corner, and we're probably 25 cars deep leaving this parking lot. And they're all heavily built. Like, most of them are pretty built cars. Everybody decides, I see somebody go, so I immediately go to the outside because I want to create room. I'm expecting people to go.
Mm-hmm.
Shoot. Everybody leaves back. And what pulls up next to me? The Ghost Can fucking 5.0 V8. What do? We look at each other and just go, like, let go of the wheel, shrug, and we go.
Yep.
We race this thing in Mexico.
There's been a few of these. The one I vividly remember is the Supra.
Oh, I've seen that video.
This was just after that one. Oh, no, just the weekend before, the weekend
Supra?
After. Yeah.
Yes.
Stop about that. God, I hurt.
I also got hunted by that one at one point going to Chicago. And I had to call him because of it as well.
And I said, fuck off. No, I said, I'm on my way. And then I saw who it was, and I was like, no, I ain't dealing with it. You know, I used to be the bodyguard of the group, so to speak, in a fun way. Like,
well, yeah, your cars were typically faster than my son.
Well, bringing it back to car meets, I like what Vegas...
No, this is where I was going is.
Okay.
So, this one event, the cops like, hey, can you guys, you know, hey, guys, you know, a couple of you guys are getting rowdy. Can you guys leave?
Mm-hmm.
Cool. He goes, I'm going to give you 5 minutes to clear out. Leave how you want. Don't cause any damage. Don't cause an accident. Be safe. And that's when me and the guy looked at each other and we're like, we did a pull. We parked in the garage. We had a good chit chat. And he goes, what V8's in your car? I said, it's not. It's a 2 liter. So he goes, bullshit. Pop your hood.
Mm-hmm.
I said, all right. Dude, I said, here, do the keys. His buddy popped the hood. He goes, it's a fucking 2 liter.
Oh, yeah.
I'm like, yeah. He goes, you got some balls, dude. He goes, what turbo, what this and that, and I explained what I had done at the time. This is when I
to
just
got
fair,
it was just small dog syndrome, you know, chihuahuas. The little ones always gotta bark the loudest.
I didn't bark, I just fucking bit. Asshole.
Same difference.
So like
no, but it's like, but again, like out here, a lot of them were, hey, you can ask stories. Hey guys, like, you guys getting rowdy.
Mm-hmm.
We would leave and somebody, like, typically it's me or Thrace or somebody else that would pick up the trash.
Yes.
Hey, officer, you know, thanks for being polite with us. Yeah,
right.
And they tell us, don't come back.
It's like daily driven exotics.
Yeah.
Yes.
Ooh. And some of the greatest are fucking hilarious.
Love those.
What was your scene out in Vegas? How did your interaction go with your hearing?
Before we start with this question, we're going to pause so we can plug in your phone.
Yeah, for a second.
Here, go get your charger.
We can get set up.
We'll
be right back.